Hello again. Our third case of the day is in the estate of Filsinger. Again, the next case is in the estate of Filsinger. May I approach? Thank you.
May it please the court. I'm Robert Brenner. I represent the appellant Marvin Filsinger, the son of Orville Filsinger. I reserve any time left for rebuttal. We ask this court to reverse the trial court in this matter on all the grounds that the court decided on. The crux of this appeal and the cross appeal is basically on one major point. Was and is the estate of Orville Filsinger closed before it came up for a hearing in 2022? The answer to that decides all the other issues that follow in this case, because the law of the case doctrine. Because in this case, we have had courts, the county court, and twice, as I interpret Filsinger 1, but Filsinger 2, declared that the estate of Orville Filsinger is closed. And that's six times or seven, how you may want to count it, that the courts have said it's closed. The four basic contentions then again, can a probate court then order fees on a closed estate? The answer is no. The law is clear on that. Can a probate again seek fees which have been denied at the trial court level and the appellate court level? That was in 2017 and in 21. Can they come up in 22 and ask for you to give the fees? Then third, they raise the issue that it's a frivolous pleading that was filed with a response when it asserted the estate is closed. You are asking for fees that have been denied. You didn't do your job and distribute.
Mr. Brenner, let me ask you a couple of questions about the closure. The order closing it was in 2014, correct?
Correct. February 13th of 2014.
All right. But wasn't there another order in 2017 that reopened it?
But, as I pointed out, that takes several things. One, it takes newly discovered assets. The assets they were talking about were in the inventory from the very beginning. They were not newly discovered. Two, you have to give notice for a hearing. No notice for hearing went out. An order was entered.
Well, wasn't one of the reasons that it was opened because you had filed litigation in the estate about a month before it was reopened?
The claim was filed. Yes, I understand that.
You were filing a claim in a closed case? What good does it do to file a claim in a closed case?
At that time, as you...
You took the position at that time, it wasn't closed.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I acknowledge that.
So what complaint do you have now? You filed a claim. You wanted that case to be opened. So why is it a problem that the court reopened it a month after you filed your claim?
They still had to follow the process of the statute. And they didn't follow the process of the statute. If we can ignore then that statute, then can I ignore other statutes? That's the first point. The second is, you're right that in the court you sat and ruled the opinion in Filsinger 2 where we made the claim that under Section H of that final order that it never got closed because we never saw a final fiduciary return and we didn't see it. Well, we now know he never filed it. But it was assumed, and that's what the trial court judge said. And I interpret what was being understood from this court in Filsinger 2 when it said it was closed. And the court's opinion said that a closing statement what was done with the pleadings filed January 10th were closing statements, then which was accepted. I acknowledge that we took a position opposite, but it's not changing the position. I'm having to adopt what is the law. You lay down, that's the law, and I followed it. And it was a year later, after your 21 decision, they then filed this action asking for that ignoring. They didn't claim, oh, by the way, it's an open estate. They're saying it's open. It was never closed, and ignored Phil Singer II's opinion that said it was a closed estate. And I get to the point that, yes, I am saying I have to follow what the decision that comes down from this court. And in the first court that Judge Reedman sat on in Phil Singer I, that said that we have it filed in the wrong estate. Everything was wrong. But that oval Phil Singer estate was closed, as I interpret through the implication. Okay, then we follow up to file something in there. All of it, Your Honor, is simply one major thing that was bothered my client. He didn't get these assets of the Brower and Phil Singer monies. He didn't get those. So where were they? Well, we find out now. The PR kept them. He kept collecting them. He paid lawyer fees with them, paid Mattoon with them. He did that. My client didn't know that. He didn't have it. And he had a right to it. And that's the part that really bothers me with the county judge who he wrote the opinion in 20 that said the estate is closed, to which you upheld. Now he writes in 22, oh, the estate is open. And now I'm closing. That's the part.
Did you make any objection at the time that it was reopened? Did you object?
I didn't even know about it. I didn't know about it. This is not something you'll see that there was any service on us that was done anything. And if you'll take a look, I think it's June 1, they filed the petition, and on June 5th, the order was already entered. I can't remember what day
of
the
week. Once you learned of it, did you make an objection to the reopening?
I didn't file an objection. I can only say I expressed words, but that doesn't fill the record and make a nice record. But you will note that even after that occurred, the county judge ruling on the case on July 21st and July 26th of that same year of that opening said the estate is closed when it came up to consider lawyer fees. He again said, and we're talking about a little over a month later, said the estate is closed. Wouldn't that be enough? That's what he kept repeating. And that's that you have to take this is what's there. That is where we're at. We would contend that there is no frivolousness in our pleading and that we have not taken any acceptance of the benefits as shown in the Lemming case. One case I'd like to point out that came down since I wrote my brief was Trouse versus Hagemeyer, 313 Nebraska, 358. That was February of this year. It covers several of these issues. The appellant relies upon his brief in the law to reverse the trial court decisions in this case and grant us the relief. Thank you, Your Honors. We reserve the rest of our time.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin O'Donnell. I'm the attorney for the personal representative, Rob Rauner, who's also the appellee and cross appellate. I guess we would call this Phil Singer 3. I like to think it's like Phil Singer 8 because this is our 8th time dealing with this case in front of an appellate, or well, 3rd time appellate, but the 8th time in front of a court of law. Three significant facts. First of all, I want to say the arguments I plan to make are already in the briefs. Secondly, in terms of salient facts, Marvin Filsinger received $2.6 million in his father's estate. He received it. We're talking about comparing to that a minuscule amount of money that we're fighting over a third time. Second thing is that notwithstanding the fact that, as you saw in the order, each of the individuals was to receive $29,500. The monies received after 2014, after that, there's $130,000+ in the account to be distributed. Third, in terms of paying of attorney's fees and costs and expenses, I've been involved in this case since 2016, and I haven't been reimbursed for any expenses, haven't been paid any fees. I'm just saying that's what's taken place here. Finally, unless this court wants to see the Filsinger case here once again, it's probable that the court should shape a remedy involved in this case to discourage Mr. Filsinger for bringing another action or another appeal to take advantage of this court system. This court found that there was no fraud involved in this case. It was successfully defended, and we're doing some house cleaning with regard to this case in terms of fees and personal representative and whatever. Having said that, my client has been accused of fraud in 8 different court proceedings. How much we can do about that, but maybe we can rectify this case in terms of demonstrating to Mr. Filsinger that enough is enough. Any questions?
Mr. O'Donnell, setting aside the argument of opposing counsel here, but hasn't the issue of your earlier fees, how can we take that back up, or how can we direct court to take that back up? I'm not talking about so much the fees that were awarded, but the prior.
Well, Judge Rowland said, no question about it, he said that in 2014 the estate was closed. Okay, and so he based his order in 2017 by saying, well, the estate was closed. But if you read the order, it said the estate is to be closed upon the final pay or the final tax return being filed. It wasn't filed. In Mr. Brenner's claim in 2017 in paragraph 7, he specifically argues that he should be able to file an action against the personal representative, and I'm quoting right here, he says, even after final order of settlement of the above estate, he continues to collect and administer and expend estate funds. Now, it's either closed or it's not.
Is it the law of the case that it's closed?
What's that?
Is it not the law of the case that it's closed?
I don't understand the question.
So you understand the law of the case doctrine. When something's been adjudicated and it goes up on appeal and the appellate court determines it to be so, and then it comes back down, and then...
Well, what the appellate court said in that thing is that they didn't say it was closed. They said that the county court said it was closed. I mean, there's a distinction there, I think. If you go back and review this court's opinion in its appeal, it just said the county court said it. They didn't rule that it was closed. That's how I interpret it.
Okay.
With regard to the fee affidavit, your fee affidavit.
Yes.
Looking through the record, the only place we see that is attached to the motion for fees.
Right.
We don't see it marked as an exhibit. Is that a problem?
We presented it to the court in our hearing back in July of last year. I hope it's not a problem.
Okay.
It was submitted by affidavit.
If it's not contained within the Bill of Exceptions as an exhibit, is that a problem?
I would hope not. It's a matter of dealing with the order as it is. But this court also has an additional remedy under 30-1601-6 that we tried to point out. It's a remedy limited, or I should say exclusive, to this court in terms of finding what's fair. And in this case, 7 years of being involved in this case and not being reimbursed or not being reimbursed for expenses or the time or expenditure on a successful defense, well, it's up to you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. How much time does Mr. Brenner have for rebuttal?
2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. First of all, I'll take issue with a statement that this court hasn't said it was closed. In the opinion written on the cross appeal in Filsinger 2, it was clear, enunciated. You had 30 days from the top point of the time the order was entered. This estate was closed. And 30 days, you didn't file an appeal. This estate had been closed. And it came down, it was clear. But they're asking for the same fees that are in that cross appeal in their appeal this time. I cannot follow that. And addressing Judge Redmond's point, the law of the case doctrine is the clearest example in this case. I believe it has to be followed. If it is not followed, that upsets a major point of rule of law that's going to apply all across the board. They didn't address the law of the case doctrine in their brief. It was more of, I suppose, attacking me and my client. But anyway, the itemized billing was not in the evidence. An itemized billing. I made a point of that in my brief, that they have no. He put in, only thing that's in there is how many hours in 16, how many hours in 17, and how many hours in whatever year they had down. That's it.
And is it your recollection that was introduced as an exhibit?
I believe it was offered at some point. And I'm trying to be accurate with you, Your Honor, but it was only an affidavit that just had this summary, and I remember it was at the bottom of the page, but I can't tell you at which exhibit. But we would simply say that in this matter, he tries to talk about the numbers and everything else, and went, oh, I didn't get paid, and you know, the point is, in 14, the order was entered. Who's the first party that filed anything? The PR in 16. What was filed in 22 after the 21 decision? The PR filed. We didn't file. They filed. You know, it hasn't been something where Marv has been pursuing it. He gets pushed into this. Hey, you know, I want to make this claim. I want to be this. I don't owe you for that. And they're taking it away. We respectfully ask this court to reverse the decision of the trial court and grant us the relief. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matter submitted. Thank you. Thank you both.